Speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the ones who write very much the same, Jesus performs miracles. He goes around and performs lots of miracles. In John's Gospel, Jesus doesn't perform miracles. He has signs. John calls them signs. And he only has seven. He doesn't have a load of miracles. He just has seven. He picks out seven important ones. And in the Gospel of John, the writer says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, these signs, that you may to come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that through believing, you may have life in his name. So John, the gospel writer, is saying, I'm going to tell you about seven important signs that Jesus did. And these seven signs are going to tell you exactly who he was and what he was about. And if you understand these signs, you'll have life. So these are really important signs that are done. And it's important to remember what a sign is. I'm very keen on getting some new signs around the town centre. Because I want them to point to... we've got lots of signs going up, but I want to, there's some specific signs I want. Pointing people to the shops that are involved in the community toilet scheme. These are shops which say, come in and use our toilets, restaurants and places like that. You know, McDonald's say, anyone can come in, use our toilets. Well, you need to know that. So you have a little sign that says, community toilet scheme. You see McDonald's, go there. If you look at the sign and you want to go to the toilet, it doesn't do you any good. You have to actually follow the sign. And if you follow the sign and you understand what the sign is pointing to, then it does you something. Then you can go to the toilet. What John is saying is, don't get hung up on the sign. Think what the sign is pointing you to. That's what's important. So this morning, I want us to look at the miracle in Cana of Galilee where Jesus turns water into wine. But I want more importantly to say, what is this telling us? What is this sign telling us? It's the same with all the other signs. I mean, you probably know the seven signs in John's Gospel. And if Sam was here, I would deliberately go through each one in turn. And this is the water into wine is a classic. You know, if I go to a dinner party and they're running out of wine, oh, give some Charlie some water, he'll, you know. Oh, I haven't heard that one before. That's so funny. Walking on water, that's you know, one of the ones. Healing the paralytic, they're all there. But this sign is important, and I think it's important to remember this. John could have picked out a sign like raising Lazarus from the dead. That would have been a really good sign. Because that's one of the signs of it later on. But he chooses this one and puts this one at the beginning of his gospel. So there must be something really important about this sign of turning water into wine. Because John doesn't just throw his material together. He puts it together very, very carefully. So he wants to tell us something really important by this particular sign. So you look at this occasion. It was a big wedding. Weddings in those days went on for a long, long time. They did 7 days sometimes for a wedding. Just carry on. Remember, the couple have been betrothed for a whole year. This was the time when they came together and consummated their marriage. It was a big occasion. And it was a culture of shame and honor. So you had to be very careful about the kinds of things that you did because you didn't want to bring dishonor onto your family. And running out of wine was a really significant thing. If you ran out of wine at a wedding, that was really, really bad. And it wasn't just a thing, you know, you go out and get some more. This was more than a faux pas or a social blunder. This brought dishonor. So this is quite an important thing that's happening when the wine runs out at this big, important occasion. And we know that Mary's involved. Although, interestingly, in John's Gospel, she's never called Mary. Jesus' mother's only mentioned twice. She's called Mother. And one is at the wedding feast in Cana, and the other is at the cross. She only mentioned twice. She's there. Perhaps they knew the family because Mary's able to talk to the catering staff and tell them, do as he tells, pour the water into the, you know, what's going on. So there's some link there. Jesus uses a very interesting phrase when he talks about my hour has not yet come. You perhaps remember in John's Gospel, Jesus uses that phrase hour in relation to his death. Let this hour When he's talking about his death, he talks about the hour. So Jesus is almost saying, oh, steady on. You know, is this really a time when we've really got to get to grips with my ministry? And his mother seems to be egging him on, saying, look, you know, something has to be done here now. Perhaps this is the time. Perhaps she knew, mother's intuition, this was the time Jesus called some disciples around him. Perhaps this is the time to reveal who he is. And there's that very important phrase, on the third day. You remember the third day? Important, because at the end of the gospel, Jesus is raised on the third day. So this bit in Cana very much reflects the rest of the life that Jesus has got to come, with his death and the resurrection. And all this is starting to build. And it's at this point that Jesus has this business where he turns the water into wine. Now, it would be important if Jesus turned water into wine. That would be a really big miracle. It would be a magic trick. But what makes this episode so important, and the reason why it's a sign and not just a magic trick, the reason why it's a sign is because this wasn't ordinary water that Jesus turned into wine. It was ceremonial water. This is the water that the Jews used to clean their hands before they ate. And do you remember when in Mark's gospel, the disciples were walking through a field and they were eating, and the Jews came to them and said, the Pharisees came to them and said, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands. That's what they said. They're eating with defiled hands and without washing them. And Jesus allowed his disciples to eat without washing their hands. This is the water at the wedding that all the guests would have had to use to wash their hands ceremonially before they ate anything. This is Jewish ritual purification water. And when we understand that, then I think we understand why this is a sign and not just an ordinary trick which somebody could do. Jesus takes cleansing water and shows that he has the power to change that into wine. See, the problem was that the law, the Jewish law, constantly reminded you how dirty you were. You had to do all kinds of washing things and cleaning things and stuff to make yourself acceptable to God, to allow yourself even to live. You had to go through all of these hoops. You were constantly reminded how dirty you were. If you were a woman, you were constantly reminded that you weren't good enough. If you're a child, you didn't matter. If you're a Gentile, it would be on the pale. And all these laws were there to put barriers up and to hold you to account because of your dirtiness. That's what this ceremonial water was there for. And the reason why this miracle is so important is because in it, Jesus is redefining our relationship to God. Nothing less than that. That's why this is the first miracle. That's why it's so important. Because Jesus is redefining our relationship to God. Really, really important. The Jewish system was all about restricting God's grace. You had a temple. And in the temple was the Holy of Holies. And one man could go in it once a year. And it was like concentric circles coming out from that. From the Holy of Holies, where one man once a year, you then had another holy place where just the men priests could go. Just the men priests. And after that, you had another little circle where just the men, Jewish men, could go. And after that, you had another circle where just the Jewish women could go. And after that, you had a place where the holy Gentiles, the ones who weren't so bad, they could go. Everyone else was... And you had these circles in the temple. And guess what? Jesus didn't like the temple. He really didn't like it. He didn't like the fact that the women, the children, the lame, the poor, people were excluded from God's grace. How do we know this? Because 7 verses after this miracle, Jesus goes into the temple with a whip. And he overturns the tables in the temple. And he talks about the temple being torn down and being rebuilt in 3 days. And John says, and that was his body. So Jesus is redefining the whole of the understanding of God and access to God. It's really important that we understand that the wedding feast in Cana is followed by a whip and turning over tables, and Jesus talking about turning the temple, bringing the temple down. Then we can understand why this is a sign and not just a miracle. Being a follower of Jesus is like being invited to a wedding where the wine doesn't run out, because Jesus makes so much of it to make a point about the generosity of God. The passage today has Jesus showing people who felt that they were very dirty and needed to be washed, being restored to a new relationship to God through him. The question always used to be, how could you become clean enough to draw close to God? In this miracle, in this sign, we see God drawing close to us. The whole thing's been changed. People used to ask, how could I be good enough? How could I become acceptable? Jesus isn't interested in how good we are, because it's his goodness which allows us all to be invited. So the communion that we celebrate today is Jesus' meal, and everybody is invited. We don't have to become ceremonially pure, because Christ makes us good in God's eyes. There's nobody too dirty, nobody who's not good enough. And that's why at this table, all are welcome. All are welcome. All are invited to come. Jesus said, it's no longer important how clean you are or how religious you are. It's just about whether or not you will come. It's just about whether or not you will come. Everyone is invited. And the Cana sign shows that Jesus is God's expression of turning over the old religion of barriers, offering himself for us to show that overflowing love and forgiveness. Now all we need to do is come.